This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 27th chapter, beginning with verse 15, where we read, "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Messiah? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the two will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Messiah? And they all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. It is hard for a person to go against what your heart is telling you is right. Not only did Pilate know that Jesus was innocent and that justice demanded that the innocent man go free, he had the warning from his wife with the affirmation that Jesus was a just person. Have nothing to do with that just man. He also knew that it was only because of jealousy and envy that the high priest had brought Jesus before him, that there was really no cause of death found in him. And his heart was saying, set him free. But the pressure of the crowd, that ungodly pressure of the crowd that so often leads a person to do that which he knows is wrong, to violate his own conscience. The crowd was clamoring for the death of Jesus. And many times we find that the pressure of the crowd is more than we can bear, and we find ourselves doing what we really do not want to do. This is the very situation that Pilate, this Roman judge, found himself in. The crowd was crying for the crucifixion of an innocent man. Does he follow his conscience and Roman justice and let the man go free, or will he capitulate to the crowd and order an innocent man to death? As we read in the story, he decided upon a compromise. He would let the crowd make the choice. He would offer at this time of the feast, as a favor to the people, to release to them one of the prisoners. And there was a notable prisoner who was a murderer, whose name was Barabbas. And so he held up the choice. Whether of the two will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah? And the people cried out, Barabbas. Release unto us Barabbas. He couldn't believe it. He then asked that fateful question, what shall I then do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? Though that question was uttered by a Roman judge almost 2,000 years ago, the question is extremely relevant today because it is a question that each of you must answer. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? You are the one who has to answer that question. The crowd cried, let him be crucified. Pilate asked, why? What evil has he done? But they only cried louder and more insistently, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could not prevail against this rabid crowd, he called for a basin of water, and in front of the people he began to wash his hands, declaring, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. No, Pilate, you can't wash your hands of Jesus. You see, that's exactly what many people are seeking to do today. They're seeking to somehow wash their hands of the whole episode. They are trying to take a neutral stand concerning Jesus. They're trying to evade the question of what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah. But you can't evade the question. There is no washing of a person's hands from the guilt or innocency of this man. Before we answer the question, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? I think that it is important that we take a close look at this man who claimed to be the Son of God, the Messiah, who was sent by God to redeem this world from sin. We first of all must recognize his unique place in the history of man. In fact, someone has said that the word history should be hyphenated because it is his story. He is the central character in the history of man. The history of mankind is really his story. Man divides history with his birth. When the officers were sent to arrest him, and they came back empty-handed, they were questioned, why didn't you bring him to us? Why didn't you arrest him? And they answered, never has a man spoken like this man. Never has a man lived like this man. He healed the sick that were brought to him. He opened the eyes of the blind. He unstopped the deaf ears. He made the lame to walk. He brought the dead back to life. He turned water into wine. He calmed the raging seas with a word, and he walked upon the waters. Never has a man made the claims that this man made. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed that God had sent him into the world. He claimed that no man could come to the Father but by him. He claimed that he was the resurrection and the life. And if you lived and believed in him, you would have eternal life. He claimed that he and the Father were one. And that if you had seen him, you had seen the Father. He claimed that no man would take his life from him, but that he would give his life. Never has a man died like this man. As he said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it up again. And when he had finished his work, when he had accomplished the redemption for man, we read that he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. He had the power to lay his life down. No man, he said, takes my life from me. I give my life. And he dismissed his spirit. He just said to his spirit, you may go now. You've accomplished the work. So that when the Roman soldiers came around to break his legs, to hasten his death, they marveled that he was already dead. And thus just thrust the spear through his heart to ensure it. When he died, the sun went dark at noontime. Impossible that it could be an eclipse, because Passover took place at full moon. As he died, there was a great earthquake that tore the rocks in two. The veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom, prompting the Roman centurion to say, truly, this was the Son of God. No man has risen from the dead as this man. He indeed is unique. He had predicted that he would be crucified, but on the third day he would rise from the dead. And on the third day he did rise from the dead, appeared to his disciples, and for a period of 40 days was appearing to them on various occasions and to different ones. So that Luke wrote, and he showed himself alive after his death with many infallible proofs. No man has changed so many lives for the better than this man. He has saved more marriages and healed more broken relationships than anyone else. He has delivered more alcoholics and drug addicts from their wasted lives than anyone else. He has brought joy and peace and love and meaning for life to millions of people. He has inspired the building of hospitals, the building of schools and of orphanages all around the world, and he has inspired men and women to man these facilities to reach out in love to help lost mankind. He has done more to alleviate the suffering in this world than any other person. Much of this suffering has been caused by the false religious systems, but he has set men free. It is almost unthinkable that when man given a choice between Jesus the Messiah or Barabbas the murderer, that the people would cry, "Release unto us Barabbas." But when they cried, "Release unto us Barabbas," that then brought up the question, then what are you going to do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? What can you do with him? Well, you can receive him as your Lord. John tells us, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed upon his name." John tells us, "He that hath the Son has life." Or you can reject his lordship over your life. John tells us, "He that hath not the Son hath not life." You can trust your salvation to your own good works and hope that God will accept them. You can believe in him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We are told that he that believeth is not condemned, but is passed from death into life. We are told that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We are told that he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. Or you can disbelieve. You can choose not to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and your Savior. The scripture said, "He that believeth not shall be damned. And he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Revelation 21:8 tells us, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall be have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You can confess him as your Lord. "For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead," Paul said, "you will be saved." Jesus said, "If you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven." Or you can deny him. Jesus said that if you denied him, he also would deny you. Paul said, if we deny him, he would deny us. Writing to Titus, he said, "They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." So you can deny him in your works while in your mouth you're confessing him. By your life, you're denying him. What you can't do, you see, is ignore him. You can't wash your hands. Jesus said, "He who is not for me is against me." He doesn't give you a place of neutrality. You can't ignore him. You see, not to receive him is to reject him. Not to believe in him is to disbelieve. Not to confess him is to deny him. What shall I do with this man Jesus, who is called the Christ? I can give him all of my life. I can surrender and yield to him completely. Or I can give him a part of my life. I can make him a part of my weekly schedule. I can give him a part of my time, a part of my efforts, a part of my energy, or I can give him my all. What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? It is a personal question, one that must be answered by every man. The interesting thing about this whole story is that though Pilate was the judge, the Roman judge who asked the question, and Jesus was the defendant, yet in reality, the judgment that Pilate made did not affect the prisoner as much as it affected him. The destiny of the prisoner was not affected by the judgment that Pilate made. His destiny had already been determined. Determined in the four counsels of God. But Pilate's destiny was determined by the decision that he made. And even today, though you are in the position of a judge, where you are asked to determine what you will do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah, in reality, your decision will not affect him. What he is and will always be. But your decision will affect you because it is your destiny that will be determined by what you decide with what you will do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah. You can't wash your hands. You can't escape it. You must decide. Decide for yourself. Just what am I going to do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? Think on it. Shall we pray? Father, we realize that you have given to us this capacity of choice. And then you hold us responsible for the choices that we make. And we can choose to surrender our lives, or we can choose to rebel against you. We can choose to believe the story, or we can choose not to believe the story. We can choose to confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, or we can choose to deny that we ever knew him. And Father, we realize that we are making our choices. And you can't sit on the fence. You can't have it both ways. It's either one or the other. Help those today, Lord, who are making their choices to make the right choice that will determine their destiny. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? You say, well, how can I choose to confess Jesus as my Savior? How can I surrender myself to him as my Lord? You can go back to the prayer room right now, and you can there just get on your knees and say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I choose to follow you. I choose to believe in you. I choose to give my life over to your control. You can make that choice. Or you can just choose to walk away and try to ignore him. Try to wash your hands, but you can't. In walking away, not receiving him, you have rejected him. Not confessing him, you have denied him. And no choice is a choice. No choice is a no choice. It's a choice not to believe, not to receive. I would encourage you, for your sake, for God's sake, go back to the prayer room. Make the right choice. Don't be swayed by opinion of others. Don't let the crowd pressure you into a wrong decision. You know in your heart what is right. Surrender your heart to him. Let him take control of your life. May the Lord be with you and watch over you, fill you with his love, and cause you to be an instrument through which he can bring his love to others this week. In Jesus' name.